You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. A lot of fun so far. Chris Webber, always great last hour. Travis Kelce, the Chiefs All-Pro tight end, first hour. You miss any interviews, go to danpatrick.com. Coming up, we're going to bring back an interview we conducted with the late, great comedian Norm MacDonald, who passed away. Used to be Weekend Update anchor. Got fired, reportedly, according to Norm, because he would make fun of O.J. Simpson on Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. Somebody in management at NBC didn't like that Norm kept making fun of O.J. Simpson. And this is post-double murder by O.J. Simpson. And Norm got fired from the Weekend Update. There was a time recently where he started tweeting to the Danettes. And just like random stuff, he would live tweet golf. And it wasn't like he was trying to be funny live tweeting golf, but he also followed the four Danettes for a while, like a month for some reason. But I tried to interview him in 2014, and it went as you would probably expect if you're familiar with Norm MacDonald. All over the place. If GPS was trying to map that out, it would have been all over the place. Also mentioned in the first hour that a source told me that there's mutual interest with James Franklin at Penn State and USC. I saw where Sean Salisbury, a former co-host of mine and former quarterback at USC, now a radio host in Houston, he sent out a tweet. And he said, we have to stop thinking these kids even know players 20-plus years ago. They want to build a new tradition. We better find a coach who is not living in the past. That's for us former players and fans. The present and future are what these kids care about. They know more about the Oregon uniforms than they do about student body right. It may hurt our pride as Trojans, but we all better adjust or you get left behind. We better hire a guy who has the energy of the players. And then he ends it with facts, exclamation point. And Sean's being realistic, and you have to be. As much as we, as older guys, go, man, USC, you'd love to play at USC. I don't know what an 18-year-old is thinking. If I'm an 18-year-old, I'm thinking, okay, can I play right away? What kind of offense you got? Do I like that coach? Name, image, and likeness? When I was 18, I would have wanted to play at USC. But somebody now, kid now, unless his dad goes, hey, you know, you want to go to USC. They want to know, where can I play on Sundays? What's the quickest way I can get in and get to Sunday and play? And I think there's a lot of teams where you go, like, you just want to be relevant. Oregon is relevant. Well, they had a big win, obviously, against Ohio State. But they've been relevant because of their uniforms. As strange as that may sound, hadn't played great football, but that big win against Ohio State. Ohio State is relevant because it's the Ohio State, and you're usually in a national title game, or at least in the picture. Alabama trumps everybody. Clemson is in there. And it's quick. It's easy to fall out. Florida State fell out. Texas fell out. You can be up there, and then all of a sudden you're gone one day. And it's not just college teams. You know, it was a year ago, 1 year and 8 months, the Texans were up 24-0 on the Chiefs in the divisional round of the playoffs. So it's 24-0 1 year and 8 months ago. Since then, Houston has lost J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins. Deshaun Watson doesn't even play, and they're expected to be one of the worst teams in the league. Just over 3 years ago, the Rockets won 65 games. The Rockets were up 3-2 on the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Chris Paul, James Harden, they had Capella, they had Gordon. Now they're in the mix as the worst team in the league. And now they're trying to dump the contract of John Wall, who has 2 years, $91 million left on that contract. So that's 3 years ago. The Astros in 2017 won the World Series. Jose Altuve, MVP. Now, very well-liked team. And then the scandal, they're the cheaters. Proven. The most proven cheating team that won a title in American team sports history. Fans show up at their away games to make fun of them. That's in the span of 3 years, 4 years. Now, the Astros are still a good team, but they're forever stained with this. It doesn't take long. Like, Tampa is the toast of the sports world now. You know, they don't support the Rays, but the Rays are a really good team. The Lightning, a great team. The Buccaneers. But it won't take long before it all goes south. Boston had a run. Unbelievable run. All four sports. But you hold on for dear life. And that's why you think, oh, there's always next year. Well, there wasn't next year for the Texans. There wasn't next year for the Rockets. You know, Los Angeles feels like it's in great shape. Dodgers got the Lakers. UCLA playing a little better. Angels not so much. But you got the Chargers. I mean, you have a nucleus there. The Clippers. It's a good time to be a Los Angeles sports fan. But it doesn't take long, as Houston has proven. They had Golden State on the ropes. Now look at them. The Texans had the Chiefs on the ropes, 24-0. The final score was 51-31. Yes, McLevin.
But NFL, you could get back fast, though. Like, they could be back. This might have been the best thing that ever happened to them, that everything fell apart, right?
I don't know if it's the best thing. I think the best thing would have been that you beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And you get nothing for DeAndre Hopkins. J.J. Watt, I had known that he was not going to stay there, that they weren't going to keep him. The question was, would he go to the Packers or would he go elsewhere? Well, he went to Arizona. No surprise there. Deshaun Watson, the great mystery continues. Hey, is he healthy? Yeah. Can he play? Yeah. Where is he on game day? I don't know. Is he at home? Then he get to go to the game? Yes, he.
Are teams too quick to go into full rebuild mode? It feels like the Texans had some pieces for a while, and it was always like, all right, you're close. And then all of a sudden, it's like, get rid of everybody. Let's just rebuild.
Well, you have a window of opportunity, and you want to make sure that you take advantage of it. Because if you hold on for one more year, then you may miss out on something. You may miss out on that quarterback. You know, Jacksonville was on the verge of knocking off the Patriots. Great defense, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. Long gone. Yeah, McLovin.
But the Texans had to sweep Bill O'Brien out of there.
Yes, they did.
They were just, they were 10-5 every year or whatever, 10-6. So maybe a fresh start. Because they got limbo. Isn't limbo worse than being bad?
You don't want to be in that, what was 8-8. No. 7-9, 8-8. You either want to be rebuilding, get a great draft pick, or you want to be competing for a championship. Yeah, see.
But right, Jacksonville, like you just said, they did the same thing. They were this close and then started unloading everybody and just getting rid of everybody. It's like, what the hell are you doing that for? You're this close.
I know. And then they got rid of Tom Coughlin. Yeah, Paul.
Jacksonville's big mistake was the 2017 draft. No offense, but in a fourth pick, they took Leonard Fournette and stuck with Blake Bortles. Yeah. They could have taken Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson without even trading up. They had Watson and Mahomes sitting there. And even if you say Mahomes wasn't that hot, Watson was. And they could have added Watson to that Jacksonville lineup.
I love to say that I saw that Patrick Mahomes was going to be this. I just thought he was, like Brett Favre, an entertaining player. Deshaun Watson had the full resume. Everything about Deshaun Watson, I thought, okay, somebody's got to take him. And then nobody was taking him. And then he started to fall. And I went, What else did you need to see about Deshaun Watson? Now, we can talk about him, the person, but we didn't know anything about him back then. He was well-liked, and he wasn't afraid. He played big. I don't know. The Texans actually go, let's trade up and get him. Kansas City, let's trade up and get him. Like, sometimes the reason why teams are bad is because things like that on draft day. Because you can say, wow, the Browns got all these draft picks. And I kept reminding people. But if you're not good at drafting, it doesn't matter. Baltimore, I could give them scraps and they'd somehow find an all-pro player. They were so good at drafting. It didn't matter how many. It was the quality of those that they were drafting. Like the Raiders. Man, they got a lot of draft picks. Are they any good at drafting? And that's why you have some of these teams that the infrastructure is not solid. And it and that, you know, is something that bears out on draft night where you go, what are they thinking? There's a few of those teams. Something special available right now at the DP Show store. We got Sportique creating a tailgate package there for you. You get a pair of sweats, a sweatshirt, win or we lose. Win or lose, we celebrate flask. And a custom box specifically designed for the bundle. Man, you'd think I'm a professional. Handwritten note from me. I had to write handwritten notes for 200 of these. Only 200, well, not even 200 available because we announced it yesterday. So they won't last long. This is all we're making this year. And they will be a great gift come holiday time. Let's see. What else do I need to mention? Oh, Tom Brady had this to say, and I'm not sure how to take this, that he was talking about all the young quarterbacks, and this is on his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald on SiriusXM.
There's a lot of rookies playing. It's pretty amazing. I don't remember this many young rookie players, even watching yesterday when I think of even the second-year guys, Tua, Herbert, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Fields played a little bit. Trey Lance played a little bit. Zach Wilson's playing. Mac Jones is playing. That's a lot of young quarterbacks. So kind of gone are the days of Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You know, those are the guys that I'm used to hearing. Now I'm watching yesterday and I'm seeing all these young guys. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, I'll be forgotten here soon enough. I'll move on and they'll be on to someone else. But that's just the way football goes, as does life.
Okay. This felt like maybe Tom reminding him that he's still playing. These other guys aren't playing. And these kids are 20-some years younger than him. It's like, oh, yeah, here's another wave of young quarterbacks. And, you know, we don't have Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees or those quarterbacks anymore. I'll be gone one of these days. But in the meantime, I'm still here, and these guys are 20 years younger than me. Did anybody else get that feeling that Tom felt like a victory line? I don't know if it was an unintentional victory lap, but it did feel like a little bit of a victory lap there. Yes, John?
Yeah, I felt that too. He was just self-deprecating enough to add that part about they'll forget about me soon enough, just to make it not sound too egotistical.
Thank you, Todd. Get ready to race in the exciting new competition show, Frogger, only on Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com. People on Twitter noticing that, watching the show on Peacock, that Tyler is eating the dog biscuits. The Bang biscuits that we have for sale at danpatrick.com are that good that Tyler will occasionally snack on these dog biscuits there. They're great for your dogs, but Tyler sometimes will have them right by his desk. There he is. And Tyler is, he's got, there you go. They're good for your dog and also for humans. You should save that for the dogs there, Tyler.
He likes the minis.
Yes, he does.
Tyler.
Yes.
He likes the smaller ones.
And we have some more dog biscuits coming out as well. A lot of great things. T-shirts there, danpatrick.com. Yes, Paul?
My only concern is Tyler's eating dog biscuits all week, and he's also our cook on Friday. Mm. Hopefully he's not injecting that into the mix.
Dave in Pennsylvania has been holding a while. Dave, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan. I'm a Penn State alum and a 40-year season ticket holder. I have great respect for you. You're a good guy. But if James Franklin ever leaves Penn State, and he may down the line, he's leaving for an NFL head coaching job. Hmm. And I'll tell you why he wouldn't go to USC, the one main reason. And Fritzy will appreciate this. There's a Hall & Oates song that describes James Franklin to a T, and that's Family Man. I don't know if you're aware, he has two daughters, one of which has sickle cell. He isolated his family in Florida last year. Nothing against USC or Los Angeles, but Happy Valley is a lot better place to raise a family than any big city.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave. Look, I don't have any opinion. Like, I don't have anything invested in this. All I know is a source. Let's put it this way. A source who said that the Big Ten was shutting down football last year is who told me this. Okay. If James Franklin is staying at Penn State, he could have mutual interest to get a better deal at Penn State. I have no idea. I just tell you when I get information and it's vetted information and people I trust, then I pass it on to you. If you're a, a season ticket holder for 40 years, you are a diehard Penn State fan. And I respect it. I appreciate it. And I have, if James Franklin wants to stay there for the next 30 years, great. I don't care. If he wants to go to USC, great. I'm in the content business. Not you know, feelings or personal opinion. It's just I tell you when I hear something. I mean, where he wants to raise kids, is that a fact or an opinion? I don't know. Yeah, see.
Dave might be a little too close to this one.
Yeah. I get, like, people feel like, oh, you know, how can you say that? I'm not, I don't mean to disrupt life here. I'm just telling you, this is, I deliver the food. I'm Uber Eats. I just deliver. Okay? Somebody else is making the food, not me. I just deliver the food. That's all. And leave me a tip, okay? Man, people get all caught up in this. And I'm sure there are going to be other coaches ask about this because there's a lot of names out there. You know, Luke Fickell, I was told yesterday Luke Fickell's not leaving the Midwest. Okay. I mean, I didn't say that he's up for the job. I was told he won't leave because he doesn't want to leave the Midwest. Yeah, McLovin.
Meaning there might be a vacancy up north at some point?
At Penn State?
Well, I was just thinking, like, when you said leave Midwest, oh, I'm like, oh, well, then who's going to go after him? Because Ohio State has Ryan Day.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Day's going to be there for a while.
Unless the NFL calls.
Let's see. Coming up on 18 after the hour, take a break, back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. And it's amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get some phone calls in here. This day in sports history coming up. Update the poll results, McLovin.
Which job would you want, USC or Penn State? 64% say USC.
How's Twitter on this topic?
It's split. I think it might depend on geography. You know, it does seem like everyone gets into the lifestyle question. Then it becomes, where would you want to live? In Pennsylvania or L.A.?
I don't know if coaches care. The wives of coaches care where you're going to raise your family. But all I have is information I'm given. Not, you know, what is James Franklin thinking? If he stays or he goes, then you can have an opinion on it. But as of right now, this is just information I received. And there are going to be other names that have come up that this is just mutual interest from what I'm told. I'm told that Luke Fickell, who's the Cincinnati coach, not interested in leaving the Midwest. And that David Shaw wouldn't be on USC's radar. So those are just things that I've heard. But, you know, there could be other people who have been involved. They were going to give the job to Urban Meyer. I was told that yesterday. And then you had the new president came in and said no. This is what I'm told, trying to clean things up. Nope, not going down that road. And therefore, Clay Helton, who was safe to keep in the job, almost like, let's get through all of the stuff that's going on at USC. And then once we kind of emerge, come up for air, and then maybe you decide that you're going to bring in a marquee coach. But that's what the feeling was because you extended Clay Helton. This is going to take a couple of months here. You may not even hear something, and something may not get traction until December. But another thing, you know, Adam Schefter said Eric Bieniemy would be interested in the USC job. Well, you might have to wait until mid-February for Eric Bieniemy because he's the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator. Can you do that with recruiting? There's a lot of things. But I was told that they're not going to circle back and go after Urban Meyer. That's what I was told yesterday. A lot of information, and there's going to be people trying to parlay this into getting a raise. There'll be coaches, thanks to their agents, then they'll put their names out there, and all of a sudden you'll go, oh, they're staying at said university. Yes, because they probably were staying at said university. It's like you take your name out of the running for a job when you know you're not going to get the job. It's rare when you go, I'm taking my name out even though I'm the leading candidate. It doesn't happen, or at least it doesn't happen very often. I got the news yesterday that Norm MacDonald had passed away, and the first time I met Norm was the 1998 ESPYs. He hosted, and he was fire-breathing. He was unbelievable. He knew he was going to be one and done. In fact, I think his approach to the ESPYs that night as the host was, let me try to be one and done so they don't ask me again. And if that was the case, he succeeded because he was taking on everybody in the audience there. But we had him on in 2014. He passed away yesterday. He had been battling cancer for almost a decade. And, you know, he would tweet about golf. He was just sort of, if you get a chance and watch his one-year show on Netflix, and I think this was a couple of years ago, and I watched every episode. He had David Spade on, I think, as his first guest. Jane Fonda was on. He was flirting with her. And it was just wonderful. David Letterman was on with Norm. But here is Norm MacDonald. He joined us May of 2014, and here's how it went. Actor, comedian, Norm MacDonald, the pride of Quebec. Host of the podcast, Norm MacDonald Live. You'll see him in Austin, Texas. That'll be coming up in June. And Aspen, Colorado. The Belly Up in Aspen, Colorado on July 5th and 6th. Big sports fan, Norm MacDonald, back on the show. And you do a lot of tweeting, Norm. You watch a lot of sports.
Yeah, I love sports, man. Hey, Dan, I heard you old boys talking about Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I thought I'd share a tale about him with you.
Okay.
I went to see him at here in Los Angeles with but my Merle Haggard was opening for him, you know.
Okay.
And I'm just an old chunk of coal, and I like Merle. So I was there for Merle, but I stayed for Bob Dylan. And he was kind of it was like you were saying, you couldn't understand what songs he was singing. And but anyways, halfway through the concert, all of a sudden, because he doesn't talk to the audience or something, all of a sudden he started talking to the audience. And he said, Ringo, 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 Ringo. Ah, Ringo, about 45 times. So everyone was sort of in shock. And finally, a light went into the audience, and it was Ringo Starr was sitting there with some lady. And then he's all uncomfortable. He's like, Ringo. So he said it about 12 more times.
Did you meet him?
Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him. What happened was, I was going to finish my Ringo story.
Oh, I'm sorry, Norm. I'm sorry. Ringo!
Ringo! So anyways, he said, Ringo, like a whole bunch of times. And then he said, any songs you want to hear, Ringo? And then Ringo Starr said, I don't know. Do you know any Bob Dylan songs?
Do I?
For the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, so name one.
Tangled Up in Blue.
Yeah, so he said, Ringo goes, well, how about Tangled Up in Blue? He goes, I already did that one.
He just didn't understand that he was doing Tangled Up in Blue.
No one understood anything. But, yeah, I did meet him. But I don't know him because I'm in the country. I'm in the outlaw country. So I was there for Merle.
Yeah, I like Merle. He's Norm MacDonald, I think, still with us, the actor, comedian.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
You do a great job of always making me uncomfortable. When you hosted the ESPYs that one time.
Oh, you were there. I remember that.
Oh, my God. You had jokes, but they weren't directed at me. I was uncomfortable, and they weren't even directed at me.
Yeah, I didn't even. I have this thing where I don't even know when I do bad. But that happens to me a lot. I come off, I go, hey, that went pretty well, right? They're like, well, everyone left. I'm like, oh.
But when you go to these places, the Belly Up in Aspen, Colorado.
Oh, yeah, the Belly Up.
Okay. What are you working on when you do? Is there always, because comedians always say, oh, well, I'm going in there working on material. Or are you just rehashing material?
Well, I don't do a comedy on, I don't televise my comedy. So I've only done like one special. I did a special a couple of years ago. I did about an hour special. But I have like so much material. I have nine or 10 hours of material. So what I do now is I just talk to the crowd the entire time, and anything they bring up, I have material on.
Oh, so you leave it up to them
Yeah, I just have a discussion with them.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, it's like you know, you have a discussion with
yes.
your...
my Danettes.
With yeah. your listeners, your Danettes, what do you call them?
The Danettes.
Yeah.
yeah. Are you up for this Craig Ferguson job to take over for him, or are you the one starting the rumor that you're up for Craig Ferguson's job?
Oh, neither.
Well, so you're not up for it?
No, I'm not up for it.
Oh, and okay.
Nor have I started anything. What happened was I tweeted and then I talked to my followers, you know. I mean, I don't want to sound like the pale Nazarene, but I have a lot of followers.
How many followers do you have?
Oh, good God, it must be into the hundreds of thousands.
Really?
Yeah, but...
the most famous follower
many,
you have.
Many of them don't care for me.
You're following them.
Yeah.
Who's the
no,
most...
Like, you go like, hey, guys, what's going on today? And then they're like, you son of a bitch. But, you know, no, I started tweeting sports, and then that'll bleed followers. You know, that'll bleed followers.
But you're doing live golf play-by-play, Norm.
That's... Yeah, I do any live sport, but I like live golf the best because, you know, golf is the greatest sport of all. Man versus man versus himself, man versus nature. You know what I mean, Dan?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You know, since you told the Dylan story, and it was okay, can you salvage this by telling the Bill Cosby story?
Oh, one time I met the great Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you know, some stupid publicist lady. I'm like, oh my God, I would love to just talk to Waylon Jennings for a moment because I had a great story about him. Because when I was young, my dad would play Waylon Jennings for me, and it was kind of important to me. So I wanted to tell Waylon Jennings the story. So this publicist lady goes, I'm sure he'd love to meet you too. I'm like, no, he doesn't know who I am. Like, she's like, yeah, I bet he does. I'm like, no, he doesn't. I'm like, so I'm like petrified that she's going to wreck it. And then, sure enough, I'm standing in the back, you know, looking as he finishes his set, he comes out and you see this lady talking to him and he's like, why? He's like, huh? She's like talking to him in his ear. He's like, oh, why? What? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, obviously she's telling him my biography, you know? So, he comes off the stage and I have this big thing. I have memorized to say to him this big touching story about me and my dad. And I'm like, I go, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Jennings. And he goes, it's a pleasure to meet you. I've enjoyed you on late night television and also in the situation comedies. And he takes off.
Do they write off your IMDb?
Yeah, he wrecked everything.
All right, tell the Bill Cosby story.
Bill Cosby. No, I met Bill Cosby as my hero and stuff. So, so I was opening for him, and I'll try to make this short, but okay. I was opening for him, and he said, I said, you know, when I was young, you know, you were my favorite comic, and I listened to you with my dad. You know, he goes, where do you live? I go, what? I go, well, my dad lives in Ottawa, you know. He goes, I think I'm going to Ottawa. He had a guy with him. He goes, Herb, when am I Ottawa? And so Herb goes, yes, he understands everything Cosby says, you know, even though Cosby just uses nouns at this point. And so he says, yes, we're in Ottawa in August. And he goes, man, it's Father Ottawa. And he goes, yeah, yes, definitely. We'll get him back to, you know, stage. Yes, Mr. Cosby. He says, yes, we will take him to the stage, into the back, and the man will have, and we will give him the man's father. And so he's writing it down, you know. And then he says, the man has to become the phone number for the man. So then he gives me a piece of paper, you know, to write down my dad's phone number.
Yeah.
And then he said, says, the man needs pen with paper with pen. So then the guy gets a pen. So then at that point, I remember my dad has been dead for 15 years. So I didn't want to tell him. I didn't want to say, oh, yeah, my dad's dead, and then ruin the fun moment. So I just wrote down, like, I knew the Ottawa, you know, area code, and then I wrote down seven random digits. So Bill Cosby, what the little have the man, and all this. So I go, thank you. And really, then 6 months later, I was doing this little guest shot of the Drew Carey Show, and I get a phone call, and it also shows you how powerful these guys are, that they can somehow find you. Yeah. But the stage manager runs up and goes, Bill Cosby's on the phone. I go, what? So I go over, I go, hello? He goes, yes, the man is not at the phone. And I go, oh, what? He goes, the man, I phoned the man, and your father was not the man, was the father. And I go, oh, yeah, no, that's the number. That's the number. I just gonna continue lying. Anyway.
So you're staying with him.
He was very, very sweet.
Oh, the man, he probably still thinks your dad's alive.
Yeah, he's probably still trying to contact him.
Before I let you go, did you date Julia Roberts?
Listen, Dan, you know, a feller doesn't...
dating doesn't, you know, tell me anything other than you. Maybe you went out and had dinner. Did you date Julia Roberts?
I've met her.
Have you kissed her?
Oh, God, man, what kind of filth is this?
Wait, look what you said earlier in this interview. And I'm filth because I said, did you make out with Julia Roberts?
Oh, my God, now I see how you're you keep pushing it up. You keep wanting more.
I'll take that as a yes.
Nah, listen, she's a sweet lady.
Did you love her?
What?
Did you love her?
Are you pretty soon you're going to be asking if I laid down with her. Good Lord.
Did you love her?
Oh, my God. You know what you remind me of?
No.
You remind me of a young, I don't know, a young Ring Lardner.
Ring Lardner. Oh, that's playing to my demo here. Come on, Noah.
You remind me of a young W.C. Hines.
Hey, good luck with trying to replace Craig Ferguson there.
I'm not trying nothing, buddy.
Okay. All right.
Listen, if
grassroots.
If nominated, I will not serve.
Oh, you're turning down the job.
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve. Who said that?
Ring Lardner.
Hey, remember when we played golf at Shadow Creek?
With Cato Kaelin?
Yeah, that's where I met you, man.
I know. Awesome. I want to do that again. I'd like to play golf with you again.
Oh, man, that'd be great. Me and you and Shadow Creek with the...
And I'll have Bill Cosby call you, and we'll set this up.
Hey, you having Sandler on the show?
Yep, tomorrow.
Oh, man, that's great. I think you'll be the first. Oh, no, it was me. I had him on yesterday.
Norm?
What?
Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
Norm MacDonald. I hope you enjoyed it. He was all over the map, but there's a lot of brilliance there, a lot of fun. I played golf in Las Vegas at Shadow Creek, and it's a wonderful golf course. And we're just finishing up, and I see two guys walking over. And I notice one is really tall, and the other one's got stringy blonde hair. And I go, that looks like Cato Kaelin. And that's Norm MacDonald. And I just didn't put the two together. You wouldn't think that. Like, hey, and those guys are hanging out playing golf. Cato wanted to do comedy and probably gravitated towards Norm because that'd be a good place to start, absorb some of Normisms. And we sat and talked outside, had a couple of beers. And I just remember Norm would talk about things that his non sequiturs, you're like, wait, we weren't talking about that. But something came into his mind, and then that's just sort of how, you know, that was his act. He was sort of disengaged, and then he was really engaged, and then he was too engaged, and then he was disengaged. But passing away after a 9-year battle with cancer. And if you get a chance, I think it still holds up. If you go back to 1998 ESPYs when he hosted, and that was something different. And, you know, we look at Ricky Gervais with the Golden Globes, where he's, you know, very in-your-face, caustic, you know, having fun, poking fun, you know, giving you a pretty good nudge here. And Norm did that with all of these great, you know, Tigers there, Ken Griffey Jr., John Elway, Barry Bonds is there. I mean, it's star-studded, and Norm, he didn't hold back, didn't let up. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and we will do that right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's call for phone calls. Chris Collinsworth, NBC Sports, will join us on the program tomorrow. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Adam Schefter reporting, asked about the USC head coach opening today. Jags head coach Urban Meyer said, there's no chance. I'm here and committed to trying to build this organization. Well, I don't know if he would come out and say, you know, never say never, or, boy, I'd always love to go back to college. Of course he's going to say that he's there to build the organization. And, I mean, look, there have been coaches who've said one day one thing, and the next day they're in another job. Nick Saban, Miami. Yes, Paul.
But if you're Urban Meyer, do you answer a question that demonstratively if you're actually not in the running and you haven't been contacted? It's possible that he's not in play.
I was told he's not. I was told there is no chance.
That answer matches that.
Yes. That maybe he's like, oh, they fired him? Are they interested in me? No, absolutely, positively not. Coach, you interested in USC? No. I am committed to building this organization. Yeah. He sounded a little more demonstrative than some of the other coaches ask about the USC job.
As you guys know, I can't stand in any form of distraction. So I'll discuss this today with the leadership council so that we can make sure that all of our energy and all of our energy is on our preparation for Auburn.
But what are you discussing with the leadership council? I mean, that's, call me crazy, but I would have followed up by saying, Coach, what is the leadership council? What are you discussing with them about USC?
My transition.
Yes, Paul.
That also sounds like a fake organization on campus. I'm going to call the organizational leadership council.
No, it's sort of like the commissioner's exempt list.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know it existed until it existed. But look, if James Franklin stays there, good for him. Luke Fickle stays at Cincinnati. Somebody's taking the USC job. Somewhere, somebody is taking that job. The question is when, and you know, are they able to turn things around? Here's Urban Meyer moments ago being asked about USC.
When you said from the get-go that this job was the kind of your dream job, was the right scenario. Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
There's no chance that. I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Okay. Yeah, Paul.
And I'd like to clarify that the Jaguars were never my dream job. I don't know where you got that. Who would have a dream
job? Yeah, I didn't know that was his dream job. I'm going to guess if you would have said to Urban Meyer, hey, USC's going to offer you the job or you can coach the Jags. Which one's your dream job? I'm going to guess USC makes the most sense for Urban Meyer, given his personality. I don't know if you'd go, man, the Jags, that's been my dream job. Yeah, Seton.
It's funny that like USC had the chance to hire him and didn't.
I know.
And they kind of seems like they don't really want him now either. And Urban Meyer's like, there's no chance I'm going there. But still, it's like, I don't know if I believe that.
You know I love a good ranking, by the way. ESPN.com ranked the top 10 teams of the last half century in baseball. Oh, God, I don't even know. Wait.
You hate lists.
I do. Like, how do you quantify that the Yankees are the best baseball team in the last half century? The 1998 Yankees. The 86 Mets are second. The 1970 Orioles are third. The 2016 Cubs are in there. The 95 Braves are in there. 2020 Dodgers in there. 2017 Astros in there. 2018 Red Sox. 1975 Reds. And the 1984 Tigers. Once again, I don't know how they quantified this, McLovin. Did they go position by position?
Yeah, they did like a power ranking in every position.
All right.
Are you a little upset the 75 Reds aren't higher on that list? That was like a Hall of Fame roster.
Let's just say that to me is the best National League lineup, I think, in the last 50 years. I got Bench, I got Perez, I got Morgan, Concepcion, and Rose. So that's my infield. Is there a better infield in the history of baseball than that? Yeah, Paul.
Shocker, you're getting fired up.
I know I am.
Dodgers? The great Dodgers?
No. The Dodgers would bow down to the Reds, that lineup, and go, hey, we're sorry we're mentioned with you. You know, we got Ron Say. We got Bill Russell. We got Davey Loeb, Steve Garvey. You don't have anybody at a position better than anybody on the Reds. And then who do they have? They have Socha's their catcher. All right, nice catcher. He's not Johnny Bench. Prez Hall of Famer, Morgan Hall of Famer, Concepcion should be, Pete Rose, we know, should be, and then Johnny Bench. You got a Hall of Fame. Yes, Todd.
Would you put the Yankees that far behind, those late 70s Yankees, that far behind the Big Red Machine?
Like
Chambliss, Randolph, Dent, Nettles, Munson.
But what happened when they faced the Big Red Machine? They got swept 4-0. So would you like to apologize?
I apologize.
All right, son.
That lineup he just said wasn't even that good.
Apology not accepted, by the way.
Not accepted.
No.
Chambliss, Dent, what?
I mean, nobody cares about that team. Todd, really? Get out of here. Get out of here. No, I mean it. Get out.
Actually
of here.
Leave.
Yeah.
There's only like a minute left in the game.
I know, exactly.
I'd rather stay. It's only like... we can hang in there for 90 seconds with me.
What are you going to add in the next 90
seconds? Not a lot.
Wow.
I just, my lower back's a little tight. Just the thought of getting up and having to walk into the...
Yeah, imagine my back carrying you for the last 2 hours.
You need a little icy hot.
All righty. Let's take a break. Not icy hot. No. I got my Level Select CBD.
You could do that. That would be 10 times better.
Thank you, Todd. What did you learn today, Todd?
Chris Webber's favorite sport growing up was football. He played tight end in high school, but couldn't block very well.
McLovin, what did you learn?
We all learned James Franklin is preparing for Auburn. What the heck is Penn State playing Auburn for? I wanted to ask that.
Seton O'Connor, what did you learn?
Travis Kelce is good with his barber.
Yeah? He loves his barber.
Yeah.
Paulie Ester.
Todd crushed the last 90 seconds.
He did?
Yeah, sure.
Mm.
Chris Chambliss, first base.
Thank you, Tim.
Over Steve Garvey.
What did we learn on the program?
Travis Kelce put product in his hair once before a practice, but had to stop because it dripped down and burned his eyes.
Final results of the poll question, McLovin?
Where do you want to coach, USC or Penn State? 61% USC.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz SUVs. The family proves, well, you need to go in there, and they say good things come to those who wait. But the SUV... family proves otherwise. Set up a test drive at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Chris Collinsworth joins us tomorrow. Hope you will as well. Back after this, tomorrow on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. Guys, we're all getting older, but that doesn't mean we still can't perform at our best. And you can do so thanks to M-Drive, the everyday supplement for driven guys who refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive's clinically tested ingredients support healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle and giving you the energy you need to fight back against aging every single day. Visit mdrivedan.com and try it for yourself. This month only, you can take 20% off your first order. Make sure you use the promo code DAN. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. Aging is inevitable, but slowing down doesn't have to be. M-Drive helps you perform at your best with top-level T support. So join a community of driven guys like me who refuse to let age slow them down. Visit mdrivedan.com. You get more energy, lean muscle, and healthy T support that your body needs. Take 20% off your order. Make sure you use the promo code DAN. Visit mdrivedan.com and try it for yourself for 20% off your first order with the promo code DAN. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive.